are serious about the Lord. And it's one of the things that God has used you in the past, gone to kind of lukewarm, you know, a little seed here, at least there, and the activation, and now since some fire had caught. But these are individuals that are seasoned warriors. And they're going to know you've been quickened to the Lord, because the words that you're going to bring are going to be quickened to the Holy Spirit. It's going to give them direction. And, you know, Jesus is in charge of his army. And he has certain directions and certain assignments. And they're always in the marketplace. And so these are the commands that will come through you. They'll be coming from the Lord to these individuals to go out into the marketplace and to go out to places that they're sent. And so just be at peace, you know, because, you know, God is doing a real stirring inside of you. And it's a, you know, this stirring is a unique thing because, you know, you got a lot of things going on and this and that and this and that. But there's something that's just the Holy Spirit is really doing an inside job in you right now. And he's starting to stir you up. Because there, it's like a you know, a call or an emergency, or the siren's going to go off, and God's going to give you understanding of that. But that's just the stirring of the Lord. And just continue to go in his presence. Continue to stay the course, because God is going to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. Does that mean something to you, brother? Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody's so good. Look, a good-looking crowd tonight. There's no ugly knockers in here. I guess when there is, I'll pick one out. We'll pray for beautification, if that's a word. Amen. Amen. God is so good. I thought there was something else. Maybe not.
Lovely are your dwelling places. We're all his dwelling.
You're right. Such a sweet spirit. You know that? Amen. Well, let's get into this tonight. I've got a three-hour message I'm condensing into 30 minutes. In the Spirit, I just believe that. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear. And I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. I ask you just give us unction now in your Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, that we might be able to bring your word, Lord, that we might have open ears tonight, Lord, that you would open each and every spiritual ear here tonight, that you might impart your will, your word, your purposes, your deposit. And we just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. You know, one of the things I've never had anybody ask me is why I read this scripture before we start. Well, I'm going to give you the answer tonight. Nobody was curious at all. It's consistent. A couple times I've read something different, but this particular scripture was more or less an order to me. And that's why I follow it, because, you know, when Jesus says do something, yes, sir. You know, there's he always has a reason for it. And I knew kind of some things, but after going through this and studying this, I started to see clearly now why he had us do that. So anyway, we're going to get into that tonight. We're going to be talking about hearing the voice, or hearing his voice. And we're going to get into that. And I know that a lot of people hear from the Lord in here. There's no question about it. But you have to understand your ministers and your seasoned ministers, and you're all called. But there's always something that comes out that just maybe you're not doing, or maybe you didn't know about, or maybe it's some kind of a, like I said, deposit. So I would just encourage you when that comes, you know, to write down, or you can get the message. It's everything's online, and it might be something you need to go back and listen to. So anyway. But I just have some points here I'm going to make sure I cover. God deals with humanity God has always dealt with humanity in a specific way through all history. And this, it's always specific, just because God is just that way. He's obviously very detailed. He's the creator. But he's always dealt with humanity in a specific way. And we have these different things that we've, in theology and so forth, and I'm not a theologist, but, you know, you have the different dispensations. And the one of the dispensations was the patriarchs. And the patriarchs were, you know, people like Abraham and Noah, and where God just dealt with individuals like Noah and Enoch and so forth, and the families. And that's mainly in the scriptures who he dealt with during that dispensation. And then we have the dispensation of the law, when the law was given to Moses, and God dealt with a kind of a collective nation, which was Israel, under a specific law that applied mainly just to them. It's not that people weren't subject to the law, but he was dealing specifically with them and in specific ways, where he gave them the law, and there was a temple, and there was a priesthood, and that was a dispensation. And the third dispensation, which we're in right now, is the gospel, and that's proclamation to the whole human race that requires an individual response. So all the human race, and that's what we're in right now. We're in that dispensation. And so all of them were different and were specific, but the one thing, the one unwavering requirement through all the dispensations that never changed was to hear his voice. That was the one thing. So every single dispensation, the underlying requirement was to hear his voice. Now, in the patriarchs, God spoke directly to Noah and to Abraham and to others and families, as I just mentioned, in Genesis chapter 6. It's one of my famous verses that the Lord had me in for 3 years. And you think that that's not grueling, reading the same thing for 3 years? I'm not kidding you. I mean, if I had somebody in my diving program, name was Noah. If I went out and got a hamburger or something like that, the person serving me was Noah. I mean, wherever I turned, it was Noah. I mean, it was amazing to me. I would be sitting there preparing my workouts, and all of a sudden, I was just aware that this big wall of water just came out of nowhere. I mean, it was like, what's going on with Todd? And so anyway, I'm back into Noah briefly. So anyway, it says here, now see, the thing about in Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, then God said to Noah, he's speaking to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Very important that you hear that. He destroyed them with what? The earth. He destroyed them with the earth. And remember what Jesus said, just like in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the end of days. And so we're sitting on a little time bomb, I think. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood, and you shall make the ark with rooms, and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. And so basically, he's hearing the Lord. He has that relationship. He obeys him, and he builds the ark. And so he hears the voice. And then we got Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. Starting in verse 1, now it came about that after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham heard him, listened to him. Next day he rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for a burnt offering, arose and went to the place which God had told him to. In verses 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad, do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have only not withheld your son, but since you have not withheld your only son from me. And so you hear another situation where the Lord speaks. You see how detailed it is? I want you to hear that, saints. God is detailed, and he wants to speak to us in this kinds of detail. Now, we may not be an Abraham or a Noah, but we have a Lord Jesus inside of us, which they did not have back then. So I just want to encourage you to, as we're going through this, notice the detail in the communication. Now, in the dispensation of the law in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, it says, and he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am what? Am your healer. So hearing the voice of God is connected to healing. And you'll see that all through the scriptures. And so a lot of times we see how, you know, we get into situations and so forth, but hearing the voice of God is connected to healing. In Exodus 19, starting at verse 3, it says, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possessions among the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So the first condition that he brings to them is says, again, if you obey my voice. And he said, if you obey my voice. And you see some different points in here. First thing in verse 4 says, I brought you to myself. That speaks of redemption. The Lord bringing ourselves, the Father drawing ourselves, drawing us. He brings him to himself. The Lord is bringing you to himself. And says in here, it says, if indeed you obey my voice. So it's not just hearing his voice, it's obeying his voice. And then it says, keep my covenant. Keep the relationship going. I mean, I really, when I hear covenant, when God speaks to us about covenant, it's a lot of things, but really it's relationship. You keep the relationship going. You're in covenant with your spouse. You're in covenant with your friends. You're actually in covenant with your family. You always keep the relationship going. And then the fruit of that by you know keeping his you know obeying his voice and keeping the covenant, God says, I will make you a special kingdom. You shall be a kingdom of priests. And so there's a real identifying mark that is on us. As we, because God has called us kings and priests, but there's an identifying mark on us that separates us from the rest of the world. And that separation in this accelerated times and this anointing is going to get even more evident. I mean, the polarization that is going on right now, we're seeing the beginning of it. And it's just going to get more and more and more. There's a separation of the wheat and the tares. And this anointing that is on the ones that are obeying the voice of God is going to get so strong and so evident, and you're going to be so much aware of it. So I just want to encourage you that there is rewards. There's evidence that we are listening to God and obeying him. Now in Deuteronomy 28, and this is before they entered into the into Canaan. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified because I like the way it says better. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1, it says, If you listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Hear that. When you obey the voice of God, it says this as a collective nations, I will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. And then it goes through all those blessings, and you can read them sometime. There's a tremendous blessings. But again, it's all tied to hearing his voice. I like that, the beginning of this, if you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord, then there's something that I would submit to you, that you increase your diligence to hear him, to make it an objective, to make it something that's a focus. Because we can't, I get to a point, you know, where you sit there and you can hear his voice, and of course we have our ears on, but to be diligent about it is kind of an aggressive thing to find out more about how I hear from the Lord. Because it's always an area that you can fine tune. Because you can hear from the Lord, but there's little, you see the detail that he spoke to people. And I know one thing. I said, am I getting those kinds of details? And so he wants to communicate. That's his will, that you hear him with detail. It is his will. And it's something that you, every person in here can have, because we do have spiritual ears. You know something about how God has spoken to you, and you know you've heard him in your spirit, your spiritual ears. And so he wants to give us the details, but by diligence, by understanding that this has got to be a focus, and it has results and we have things that fruit that come into our lives as a result of it that are beneficial to our missions. These are keys that you have to walk out of here with to your ministries. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus says, and the Holy Spirit is refining you so that you can get those details and your missions can be completed, and then also the successes that you have with them in the righteous deeds in Christ Jesus. Now, there is the opposite of that in Deuteronomy 28. It says, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, and being watchful to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you, then this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So there is that that other side of that if we don't obey him. And so when we come into this relationship with the Lord, everybody in here has that ability to hear from him, but also we have the choices of whether to obey or not. It is a choice. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you to do things that you don't want to do, and you know that you're hearing him then. Amen? You really know you're hearing God when that still small voice speaks to you, you know, to go up to that person that you can't stand and tell them how much you love them or whatever it might be. And usually that's a lot of the ways that I know, or that God is dealing with your attitude. Many times he does deal us with our attitudes. Are we being too critical? You know, is the Lord showing us something about somebody besides to pick them apart? Maybe it's something that we need to start praying for, whatever it might be. But this is how the Holy Spirit will deal with you and me in fine-tuning us so that we hear his voice in the area of discipline. Because some of the times we go through circumstances where we look at him after some time has passed by, I see what he was teaching me. But in the trial, you can have wisdom. And in the trial, you can have joy, because that's scriptural. So if I'm not having joy in my trial, does that mean I'm going to go through that trial and then look back and have the joy of the fact that I learned something through that? Or can I go through the trial with joy, knowing, hey, what's the solution? What's the key? I'm all ears. Amen?
All ears.
In Jeremiah chapter 7, he kind of brings this all into focus. Verse 22. He says, for I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in that day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. Because that's what they were doing. They were just burning the sacrifices, burning offerings and sacrificing. But that's not what the Lord commanded them. This is what he said. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice. And I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk in all the way which I command you, that it will be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. And so this is something that you need to hear here, because I don't know about you, but I've had situations in my life where I felt like I was going backward. And I'm not so much certain it's that there was evil in my heart in terms of just, you know, generating evil, but it says they walked in their own counsels. There is a counselor inside of you, and his name is Will. Will doesn't need to be consulted. It says in the word of Jesus, when the voice came to me, he says, I don't consult my own will. I didn't consult my own desires, but only do what's pleasing to the Father. So when the voice came to him and the God spoke, he didn't counsel and, you know, well, should I, you know. No, he didn't consult the will because his will was probably antagonistic to maybe what the Father was saying. Now, his will probably came in line, but why would he make that statement? If nothing else, he was just making that statement to teach us how to hear and how to not consult the will. That was the key to having the opening ear. You see? It's more than just listening. It's understanding what's really your whole being and how you're created, that you have a will there that cannot be consulted when it comes to hearing the voice of the Lord. So you must learn how to identify that will. And sometimes it just screams. You know, one of the things, you know, I shouldn't be eating a chocolate donut this morning. But the thought came to me, get the chocolate donut. And I never thought that, you know, well, that was my will. I wasn't trying to go into a debate or anything like that. I just ate the chocolate donut. There were two left. I could have given two to my son, but I gave one to him and one to me. Now, that I don't think that was kind of bad, you know? I mean, well, I thought to myself, well, you know, I'll give him two chocolate donuts, he's going to be all wired. So it's not good for him to have two. I mean, what's going on with Todd and the food? It's usually the little sweets. It's not the big stuff, you know? That was for somebody in here. That's me. Yeah, I think that was for me. So that was the dispensation of the law, and you can see the seriousness of hearing his voice and Isaiah coming to the, he says, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels, and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, they went backward and not forward. And some of you, you're going to be ministering to so many Christians, you know, that we were talking earlier about some people, they get mad at God. Why didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't you, you know, they get angry with him like he, you know, is not communicating. You know, but most of the time, it's they're just not hearing, or they don't know how to hear. And so, or they're being counseled out of their own will. And so when they're praying, they're already, I mean, I know this because I, you know, being in competitions as an athlete, you want to win that meet. And you're sitting there, well, you know, Lord, am I going to win today? You know, and you're hearing, yeah, you're going to win. And it wasn't, and it didn't win. And it, what was I listening to? It was my will. And so many people, when they're praying, they want solutions to the situations the way they want them want to come out about. This was some years ago. Actually, it was really strange. It was, in a church up in Charlotte that you took me to, and there was a lady there. They got mad at me, but I think it happened where she was trying to get back to her husband, and I just knew it wasn't going to happen. And so I think I told her that. So I think they did get back together. I think it was up there. I don't know. Anyway, but I've had that happen before. And I don't want to say that, you know, but if God gives me a word of knowledge, I can't hold it back. I could. But I have to say that, and she might have cut that with a really, but at the same time too, maybe it helped her accept it to where she could move on. I don't know. But the point is, we're going to hear things that we are going to have to say to people that are around us, and they're praying out of their own will, and that's what they're praying is not going to necessarily touch the heart of God. And so that's why we have to sit there and give them instruction. And you're the ones that are sent in their life to help them through that process. So now in the dispensation of the gospel in John chapter 10, let's turn that up. And I love this. These are great scriptures here. In John chapter 10, verse 3, it says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because, why? They know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So again, in all these dispensations, it's hearing the voice of God. It is absolute key. To him, the doorkeeper, first of all, we have three things here. First of all, they hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. Then secondly, they know his voice. So they hear him and they know his voice. We used to, in Sunday school, play this game called the Shepherd and the Wolves. And one student would sit there, we'd blindfold him, and we hit a little obstacle course. And the whoever was leading the group or whatever, they would give the person instructions to go through this course, you know, take two steps this way, take a left, take a right, so forth. And then the other kids that were around, they could distract them. And so, you know, they knew, if they knew the person or the teacher, they could, you know, take the commands. But as soon as another voice got in there, they couldn't maneuver their way through. But they could to the one that they knew, the one that was, you know, leading the class. And so that's, so is the same way with us. By knowing his voice, you're able to maneuver through the different storms and different situations in your life. Because you hear him, but you have to know him. And how do you know him? Through relationship. Through relationship. And that relationship in your life is going to change after this meeting, because I'm going to throw something out to you that you never thought of, that's never maybe happened to you. Maybe it has happened to you. But you can start anticipating it. Because I believe it's the will of the Lord. And I believe that's something that he's speaking to us tonight, that we might walk out of here with something completely new and fresh. So they know his voice, they hear his voice, they know his voice, and what else? They follow him. So you're hearing his voice, and you know his voice, and now you got to follow him. Because when you start to go through those three levels of knowing his voice, hearing his voice, and following him, now you're in a place where you can be discipled by him. Because what does disciples do? They left everything and they followed him. They left everything and they followed him. I mean, they left it all. And that's not normal. That tells you how much power was upon the Son of God when he spoke to somebody, come follow me. And I've been around people like that that have walked with the Lord. Peter Van Niekerk was one of them years ago when I just was exposed to him, and I just wanted to throw everything away and just go for it. Because I was in front of somebody who walked that out, who had given everything up to just go for it. And you and people want to get around you when they sense that about you. It, even though they might not fall, you know, throw everything away right away, they're going to want that. They're going to want that in their life because they're going to realize that that's truth. And they're going to realize that's the most important thing that we ever do on this planet is to leave all and follow him. Because we're going to go into eternity. And it's a great reward for us. So let's go to John 10:16, same chapter. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Speak of the Gentiles. I must bring them also, and they will all hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. So how does Jesus bring the unity of the church? Those that hear his voice. It's not denominations. It's not different moves of God. It's the people that hear his voice. And you can understand what a great general he is and how he has salted this earth with those that hear his voice everywhere. Especially when you hear about the gospel of the kingdom being preached to the ends of the earth. And he says, go. It's time. It's time. And that glory that Isaiah saw on the children of God in the end of days, that the glory shall be seen on us. Those that hear his voice. Because hearing the very voice of God fills you up with oil. I have other sheep which you do not know this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock. Let's go to verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I know them. You know, one of the things that I couldn't understand, you know, when I was reading the scriptures years ago, it says, depart from me, for I never knew you. And I said, how in the world could God not know me? He knows everything. But there it comes back to that relationship and spending time with him. And you know that, you know he knows you when that, you just know he knows you. You just know it. And in fact, many times when I talked to him, I said, I don't even know if I can, you know me, and I don't know if I can judge myself. Can you give me the understanding of what you're dealing with me? You know me. You know me better than I know myself. And it's just a wonderful thing, that covenant relationship. So here it is again. Hear his voice. He knows them. And they follow him. He sums it all up. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. Hearing God's voice will change our lives, change your life. It will also change your standards and the way you live. These are the things that happen when you're hearing the voice of God. It changes your life. And you know that because you've been changed. Has anybody in here just never, I don't know about you, it feels like the changes are coming a little bit quick. I just feel like the changes are coming fast. And it's something that we've all asked for, you know? It's something in our heart. We want to be like you, you know? There's nothing wrong. When I was an athlete and I would see someone perform some kind of dive and all the flips and twists, and I like the way that guy just, I want to twist just like that guy. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be like your Savior. You know? To want to be God is a problem. But to want to be like him is the highest expression to me of love, to really want to emulate the beauty in the way that he loves people. Amen? So, it'll change our life. There's three features about God's voice that I want to point out. And you know this, but I just want to point it out because I feel it's just going to mean some. First of all, the first feature of God's voice is it's personal. It's an individual feature relating to you personally. It's personal. How he does that, I don't know. I haven't heard of people that have, died and come back. And one of the things I heard of one of the testimonies was it was like I was the only person in the world. He somehow made me feel that important. And he does that with every single child that he has. He is so powerful. And that's the depths of the love of God, to be able to do that and want to do that. That's why he so much wants relationship. And that's why he's restoring everything. It's going to go right back to the smack to the beginning when he created the heavens and the earth and it was perfect and put Adam in the garden. It's going to go right back to that. That's why the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. He already knew. It's coming right back around. Amen. So, it's personal. Another feature of hearing the voice of God is it's intangible. It cannot be touched, cannot be seen, can't really be felt. It's not restricted to a place. I wanted to point that out. Not that you shouldn't have that secret place that you go to, or that place where you're, it's just kind of peaceful or like that. I'm not saying that, but it's not restricted to a place. I mean, you could be in a car, all of a sudden you need to talk to God. You could be anywhere. So it's not restricted to any place. You don't have to get to the soundproof room. But I'm not saying don't have those places, because you got to go sometimes. It requires a sense of hearing from the heart, from the spirit. You can't see your spirit, but you are a spirit. And your spirit has ears. And that's where he speaks. It's intangible. The other thing about the features of God, the voice of God, is it's present. In the sense, it's not in the past of time. It's not in the future. It's in the now. I want you to hear that again. It's present. In the sense of time, it's not in the past of time. It's not in the future. It's in the now. So many Christians, they can be in the past or the future in their thinking. And living in the now forces you to have a present experience. And that's why when Moses was in front of him at the burning bush and he said, Lord, who should I tell him that you are? He said, just tell him that I am that I am. So God is in the present. That's one of the features. It's present. It's not in the past, not in the future. It's present. Not that he can't speak to you about things in the future, or not that he can't talk to you about maybe some things in the past, but his voice is present. It's in the now. And that's one of the features of the voice of the Lord. What are some of the results, or one of the biggest results that I just want to touch on tonight about hearing his voice is it produces faith. In Romans, and the reason why I'm saying that is because it's one of the areas, if I was going to just assess the group by the Spirit, and when I say assessing, I include myself in the assessments, just so y'all know. I don't claim to be up here where I've learned. You know, it's if the Holy Spirit's speaking through me, great. Okay, that's about all I'll say. But one of the things that I would say about us is that we need more faith. And it's something that is needs to be acquired. It's something that requires diligence, and you got to know how to get more of it, because you're going to need it for your ministries. And it's something that maybe you haven't been thinking about. It's something maybe you haven't really put a focus on and say, I've got to get more faith. And because that's something that the Holy Spirit is speaking to the body of Christ, because when we realize that we need more of it, the way that you get it is his will of what he's trying to do, and that's to hear his voice. Now in chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So faith increases from hearing the Lord and hearing by the word of Christ. So it's his words that come and speak to us. Now we got two words here. We got the logos and we got the rhema. And the logos is something that is written in heaven. It's the mind. It's the counsel. It's the reason of God's total purpose. It's settled in eternity, and it's what is written. It just is. It's a done thing. And that's the logos. And David really sums it up in Psalm 119, verse 89. And you probably got this memorized over there, Milburn. It says, forever, Lord, your word is settled in heaven. That says it all. That's the logos. Now, the rhema word is the spoken word, and that's the word that we would hear in our spirit. And I want to take this back to Matthew 4, because this is going to give you some incentive, I believe. And this is when Jesus is being tempted by the devil. He says, but he answered and said, the tempter came and said to him, if you're son of God, command that these stones become bread, because he had been fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and says he became hungry. And I would have come hungry after the fourth day, I'll be honest with you. It's just, you know, I mean, it's impressive. 40 days and 49. You just can't. Anyway, but he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That word there is rhema. So what is he saying? He's saying man shall not live on bread alone, but every rhema word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Rhema after rhema after rhema after rhema after rhema. Build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema word of God. So it's the rhema word that is building your faith. And when you focus on that and you diligently seek the Lord to hear him in a way that you never had before, if you don't have the details, and I read some of the scriptures, I don't have that yet, but I want it. Why do I want it? You've sent me on this earth to complete a mission. I've got to be, you've prepared something for me, and I need more faith. Why does it say earnestly desire spiritual gifts? All this stuff is about diligence, and all the enemy's attack on your life and my life is to paralyze us and to stagnate us and to get us to think about the things of the world and not the things of the mission of why we are sent here. Because see, when we bear fruit, when we do these things, it glorifies him. And you know, we said, you know, you are be glorified, and I'd like to change the word, you are glorified. For me to say be glorified is, I can't do it. You are glorified. I can't say be glorified because you already are glorified. You know what I'm saying? It sounds kind of like humans do. Be glorified. Like, you know, we got to really glorify him. You know, it's got nothing to do with that. You're glorified. And so bearing the fruit is what brings glory to him. And that's what you want, because when you truly love him and you realize the gift of eternal life, the fact that you and I will never, ever, ever die, and the things that we will be doing we can only even dream about, and all those that will be joined together with, and the fact that there will be harmony and there's no more sin and all that, there's no crying and just the perfect place that he created, that is where we're going. What is it to give everything up and follow him? But to hear his voice, the rhema word of voice, the rhema word of God, and you think about the times that you have heard his voice. But when you diligently seek him and you leave with that motivation of seeking that voice and wanting to hear that voice and understanding that it brings faith, because when the details start to come, you will be amazed. The very fact that we're even here came from a rhema word. It did. And to follow through with what that word says produces fruit and brought you here so that he might speak through individuals to impart into your life. It's all about divine appointments. So the things that he's saying, the things that he's doing, the results are occurring and the testimonies are coming and so forth. So what's going to happen tonight when you leave? I'm excited about it because I haven't even got to that part I want you to hear. We're getting there. The rhema word. Faith does not come by reading your Bible, by the way. Now, in saying that, it can, in terms of you open it up and you're reading and something leaps off the page at you, but you can hold a Bible up to somebody just to read it. It's not, faith isn't going to come. It comes from the rhema word of God. I just had to throw that out because some people that, you know, they just read the Bible and say, that's not even good history. Faith comes as a result of God's word, the rhema, by us responding by hearing. And that comes back to, you know, when Samuel, the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him, and Eli told him, instructed him, when he speaks to you, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." It requires a response. And when you know that the Spirit of God is talking to you, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," you're responding to him, and now your spiritual being inside you is opened up to hear because you're acknowledging him. And then out of hearing that, faith comes, because the more you spend time with him, the best times of our life. What is the lifestyle of a person who hears from God? Well, they don't live by bread alone, as we just read, but they live by every word that proceeds out of the word of the Father. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Now, this isn't talking about babies. These are the sons of God. These are mature, seasoned people who hear from the Lord, and they are the sons of God. What was the lifestyle of Jesus? Go back to Isaiah 50, and so you begin to understand why the Holy Spirit directed us to read this scripture. Isaiah 50. Verse 4. It says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain a weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." Every morning, the first thing Jesus heard, he was awakened. He was awakened by the Father. He wants to wake us up every day. And the first thing that he heard was the Father's voice. He awakened him every morning. This is what the Holy Spirit wanted to communicate to us. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen. He woke up his ear. He awakens my ear. He woke him up, and he woke up his spiritual ear every morning, every day. This is what's inside of you. This is the best alarm clock that there is. This is something that the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you tonight that you can look forward to every morning. He wants you to think about it. He wants you to meditate on it. He awakens his ear to listen as a disciple. A disciple. What does a disciple do? He follows him. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word." So he woke up his ear to listen, but in that impartation, to listen as a disciple of one who follows. And as we see, as we read on these things, that because Jesus did these things, he had words of encouragement. This is one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit speaks the main time. "I just want to give you a word of encouragement." I could never figure that out, because it wasn't always that way. I mean, it really wasn't. And all of a sudden now, it's been words of encouragement for a few years now. And it's like, "Well, I got a word for you." Or, it's always a word of encouragement. And when I started to study this and I came back to this, I go, "Oh my gosh, somehow it happened." That's good. This is a preceding word of ministry that you need to impart to people. I want to give you a word of encouragement. And you're going to come right out of this anointing of Isaiah 50. Because why? Because when the Lord says through you, I want to give you a word of encouragement, what is going to follow? His encouragement. Because you may not even know what you're going to say. He'll just fill your mouth. And and over a period of time, the confidence will come that you know he's going to fill your mouth every time. Because it's his preceding word. So Jesus had words of encouragement. He received instruction in the morning, personal direction. He received obedience. I want you to hear that. He received obedience. He had obedience imparted into him. God wants to impart obedience into us. We've always looked at it from the wrong end. We've tried to be obedient here. He wants to impart obedience into us because we may not know how to be obedient. Obedience covers such a range of things. It's our attitude. It's the way we perceive things. It has so many facets to it. But when the Holy Spirit is training us, he wants to impart obedience to us. And we can seek that and we can ask for that when we understand it through the word that Jesus had obedience imparted into him. Everything that happened with our Lord was an instruction for us of how to use the anointing that he's placed within us. He said, follow my example in living and if need be, in dying also. We ought to die right. Whatever that is. He received supernatural strength. For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced, therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know will not be ashamed. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out my beard. I did not cover my face from the humiliation and the spitting. He looked right at him. When he looked at him, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what he was doing. He doesn't know what he's doing. And then as I just mentioned there, he had determination. He says, therefore, I have set my face like flint. And that just tells it all right there. The mission. Not his will, but the will of Father. He set it like flint. And, you know, I used to think that flint was a hard rock. But you get the illustration. Even though flint may not be a hard rock, it's the illustration of setting your face straight ahead towards your mission. But he understood his mission in detail. And that's why a couple weeks ago I sent the thing, said, hey, you have your vision written down. And it may only be a few things, and that's okay, but I'm just telling you, saints, we can have these directions. We can have these experiences. But tomorrow's a new day. Who's going to wake you up? When this hit me, it hit me in a great way. It was hard, but it hit me in a great way. I've never, ever thought that. I've been woken up by the Lord before. But I don't think in my brain, he's going to wake me up every day. And the first thing I'm going to hear is his voice. And he is going to impart to me and open my ear. And he's going to put obedience in me. And I'm going to have words given to me to people who are weary. And I'm going to go through my day and I'll be able to identify them because I'm going to see in my spirit by hearing him that they're weary. And I'm going to have words of encouragement. And I'm going to have supernatural strength. I'm going to be able to walk out my day, and I'm going to be strong the whole entire day. These are the things that are your inheritance, saints. These are the things that he died on the cross that we might have all of them. Hearing the voice of God is key. It's been that way since the beginning. It'll be that way all the way to the end. And you know what? We're going to be able to make it. We're going to be able to do it. We are the generation that volunteer freely in the day of His power. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, this is such an awesome thing tonight. I thank you so much for bringing understanding to the scripture that we've been reading. But also, Holy Spirit, we just thank you that it is your will to wake us up tomorrow morning. And it is your will to impart to us an open ear. And it's your will to impart obedience. It's your will that we would have the tongue of a disciple. It is your will, Lord, that we would follow you. And Lord, it says in your, not my will, but your will be done. And that's what Jesus said. And we say that in faith right now, not our will, but your will be done. Father, I thank you for those that you've gathered here tonight. I realize that this is a very much a divine appointment. And Lord, I lift up those that are not here, Lord, as well. Lord, fill us up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we just recognize you as the head of the church. We acknowledge it. And we just thank you for it. And we just ask you that you'd continue to move as you desire fit, obviously. And we desire for a great outpouring. And we just thank you. And we love you. Amen.
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 Hey, can I say one thing right quick?
Sure.
I just want to thank everybody and praying for JJ, his mama, John, and Donna. He's finally came home, and they got skin graft on his knee, no infection. Everybody keep praying for no infection to come into it. After that, they're going to put cadaver bones in that leg, so hopefully he'll have one good leg because they cut the other one off up right here. And they just want to say thank y'all for all y'all's prayers. They've worked miracles for him, and they thank y'all very much.
Lord, I'm going to believe you can bring him in here. I'm going to see that guy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'll give him in here.
You bring him here. I want to see that guy. We're going to see the results and continue to lay hands on him and see what happens.
Thank
you. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for doing what you do. Gosh. You guys are...